Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WKMZ-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now your host, author, pastor, and teacher, Doug Joseph.
I turned to the Bible and began to study what the Bible has to say about evil days. We are living in evil days. And so it behooves us to turn our attention to God's Word to find out what it has to say about the topic. That is my title tonight, Evil Days. As is my custom, I'll read from both the Old Testament and the New Testament as a launching place. And then later during my message, I'll read some more Bible verses. Turning to the Old Testament and reading there in Psalm 37, and reading there verses 18 and 19. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Notice this, whether the upright's temporal days on earth are good days or evil days is not the major consequence. And regardless of whether they are evil days or good days or a mixture of the two, the point is the Lord knows their days because they are the upright and their inheritance is going to be forever. That's the crucial thing. Verse 19, they shall not be ashamed in the evil time. I will tell you, there are some today who considered themselves upright, but they have behaved in a way that is leaving them to be ashamed. But a person who is truly upright, even in the evil day, they will conduct themselves in such a way and their faith will be of such a foundation that they will not be ashamed in the evil time. And in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. But, verse 20, but the wicked shall perish. And the enemies of the Lord shall be as the fat of lambs. They shall consume into smoke, shall they consume away. Turning to the New Testament now, I'll be reading four verses, one in James, one in 1 Peter, and two from Paul's epistle to the Romans. James chapter 3 and verse 16. James chapter 3 and verse 16, the word of the Lord says, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. 1 Peter 3:9, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Romans 12:17. Actually, I mentioned I would read two verses from Romans. I actually only want to read one verse, but I want to read it twice. Romans chapter 12 and verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. I want to read that one again from the New International Version. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Lord, help us by your power tonight as we turn our hearts toward the Word of God, for we recognize that your Word is forever settled in heaven and in earth, and only by finding out what your perspective is on the evil of our day can we set our hearts aright and have the right perspective on it ourselves. And I pray, let it be so in Jesus' name. Amen. When I turn my attention to the Bible to find out what it says about the evil days, I glean right away, very quickly, several key points. The first is this, and I did a systematic search of the Bible for this topic. The first point is this, a lack of righteous leadership is connected with increased evil doing by people. Can you say amen? In a minute, I'm going to read from Deuteronomy chapter 31, starting with verse 29, verse 27, and reading verses 28 and 29. But I want to draw three points from that one passage, And I want to tell you all three of the points in advance. The second point that I gleaned from that passage is this. When people who know God corrupt themselves and do evil, then evil befalls them. Now, in that sentence, I just used evil in two different ways or with two different meanings. And I want to mention to you what those two meanings are. A person who is malicious towards you, a person who intends to hurt you, a person who means you harm, a person who wants to trespass wickedly against you would be said as someone who is evil and someone who is doing evil. That's one of the meanings of evil. But there's another meaning in the Bible, and that is that when no one means you wrong, no one means you harm, no one is malicious toward you, and just out of chance and happenstance, something bad happened to you, that is biblically said to be an evil day. And so evil can mean with malicious intent, wickedness, sinful heart, or it can just mean that just bad things happen to you. And both of these instances are in this one sentence. When evil people do evil things, then evil, as in bad things, happen to them. Now, I want to stress to you that I am not talking about karma. Karma is a notion from a false religion. A Holy Ghost-filled believer should never say, oh, ho, ho, that was karma. Don't prop up a false religion with your words. It is a biblical truth that the one true God says that God is not mocked, and whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. That's not karma, that's God. And when God causes judgment to come upon evildoers so that bad things happen to them, that's not karma paying them back, that's God paying them back. And God's name is not karma. And don't ever let a Holy Ghost-filled believer talk like they believe in karma. It's false religion. So the first point, a lack of righteous leadership is connected with increased evil doing by people. Second point, when people who do know God corrupt themselves and do evil, then evil befalls them. Third point, when people who know God corrupt themselves and do evil, it provokes God to anger. Now, I will tell you that God is displeased when anyone sins. God is troubled when anyone sins. When even the most rank and file sinner that's never known God, when they sin, it troubles God. But when a believer who has known God turns their back on God and in a backslidden state does evil, it doesn't just trouble God, it angers him. I'll show it to you from the scripture. Moses, after putting up with the rebelliousness of the people and seeing the wickedness and the evil heart within the people, he knew that if it had been bad when he was alive, it was only going to get worse when he was gone. And so he prophesied, he foretold that after his passing, the people would corrupt themselves and do evil. I want to read it for you. Deuteronomy 31, verse 27. For I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I'm yet alive with you this day, ye have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more after my death? Gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. Verse 29, for I know that after my death ye will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because ye will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. Now, the fourth point I want to make about evil days is this. Judgment that is to be poured out by God can be delayed by humility and contrition, but presumably only repentance and getting forgiveness from God can turn away judgment permanently. Now, I want to show you a biblical instance of God's judgment being delayed, not turned away permanently, but turned away temporarily through contrition, through humility and contrition. 1 Kings chapter 21, beginning with verse 24. Him that dieth of Ahab in the city, the dogs shall eat. And him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel his wife stirred up. I just want to tell you something. If you will be a real man, it will not be someone who lords over and dominates your wife. But if you will be a real man, if your wife is in the wrong and she is stirring you up to do evil, you will say, no, that's not right. And I'm not going to let you seduce me into doing that. Ahab had no such strength against his wife Jezebel. She stirred him up to evil and he did everything she stirred him up to do. And he did, verse 26, and he did very abominably in following idols according to all things, as did the Amorites whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. And it came to pass when Ahab heard these words that he rent his clothes and put sackcloth on his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite saying, seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. Fifth point about the evil days, and it relates back to the first point. Remember the first point, lack of righteous leadership, lack of godly leadership causes an increase in evil doing among the people. In relation to that, the fifth point is the presence of wicked leadership is connected with increased evil doing by the people. We can see this all over 2020. I want to remind you that there were people that got together for weeks long and months long campaigns in which the protests were intentionally, not by everyone, but by some, the protests were intentionally steered toward looting, rioting, burning, and violence. Why? Because after the first night of protests and first night of anger and first night of burning, the mayor did nothing to stop it, but rather encouraged it and joined in. The presence of wicked leadership is connected with increased evil doing by the people, and it is connected with bringing God's judgment. And for this, I would like to ask you to consider the biblical list of the kings of Judah that were good, and the biblical list of the kings of Judah that were evil, and the biblical list of the kings of Israel that were good, and the kings of Israel that were evil. And notice that Israel's bad track record was worse than Judah's. And that bad track record led to a much harsher judgment from God. And that bad track record led to a much sooner judgment from God than was poured out on Judah. But Judah, of course, also eventually had a track record that warranted the judgment of God. And for an example of that, I want to read to you from 2 Kings 21. It's a bit of a lengthy reading, and I'll ask you to pardon me tonight and go with me in this journey in the Word of God. This evil king was named Manasseh. 2 Kings chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Hephzibah. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, after the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord cast out before the children of Israel. For he built up again the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. And he reared up altars for Baal and made a grove, as did Ahab, king of Israel, and worshiped all the hosts of heaven. That means he worshiped all the false gods. The whole host of heaven refers to an astrology. Notice I didn't say astronomy. An astrology tie-in between false religion and celestial bodies. Every single one of the planets that were known, the planets of the solar system that were known to human beings, was made into a god. The sun was made into a god. The moon was made into a god. Jupiter, Mars, Venus, all made into gods. And furthermore, certain stars even. He worshiped all the host of heaven and served them. And he built altars in the house of the Lord. Altars to false gods in the house of the Lord. He built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he made his son pass through the fire and observe times and used enchantments. Folks, do not read, what do they call in the newspaper when the Pisces and what's it called? Horoscope. Folks, Holy Ghost filled people don't read horoscopes. And if you break open a fortune cookie, it's only to laugh at it. Holy Ghost filled people don't take fortune cookie message serious. We don't do enchantments. We don't do superstition. We don't do, what do they call it, soothsayer, palm reader? Holy Ghost filled people don't go to palm readers. This guy, he observed times. He used enchantments. He dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. Holy Ghost filled people don't go to witches and wizards and necromancers and palm readers. And forgive me if I'm stepping on your toes, but if you're doing that, you need to repent and stop. You're provoking God to anger. The attitude of the Lord is what? Do I not have information in my Bible that can help you? You got to go to a palm reader? Do I not have pastors and elders that can help you and believers at the church that can help you? You got to go to a palm reader? You got to go to a, what's it called again in the newspaper? Horoscope. I can't even remember the name because I banished it out of my head. I can honestly say I don't know that I've ever one time in my life looked at or read a horoscope in a magazine or a newspaper or online. I don't think I've ever read one in my life. Don't plan on starting. This guy went to wizards. He wrought much wickedness in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a graven image of the grove that he had made in the house of which the Lord said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. Neither will I make the feet of Israel move any more out of the land which I gave their fathers. Only if they will observe to do according to all that I've commanded them and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. Listen to God. But they hearken not. In other words, they wouldn't listen. And Manasseh seduced them. Remember what I'm talking about. Wicked leadership. Evil leadership produces evil among the people. Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than did the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. Folks, the people who were in the promised land before Abraham's descendants got there. The people who lived in the promised land before Moses and Joshua came to take over the promised land, those people lived so wickedly. They murdered their children. And you hear me, God is going to hold the abortion industry and hold America and the world accountable for the killing of children in abortion. But these people killed their own children in child sacrifice to false gods. They lived in such wickedness, they did such evil, such debauchery, that God marked them for death and put a judgment upon them. He said, I'm going to give this land to my people and I'm going to use my people to execute you. And now, years later, he's saying, my people are doing worse than those people. It provoked him to anger. He said, they've done worse than the people that the Lord destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spake by his servants, the prophets, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, hath done these abominations and hath done wickedly above all that the Amorites did, which were before him, and hath made Judah also to sin with his idols. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing much evil upon Jerusalem and Judah, that whosoever heareth it, both his ears shall tingle, and I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as a man wipeth a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. God said, you get a picture of a man wiping grease and crumbs off of a dish, I'm going to wipe Jerusalem like that. And when he finishes and he turns it, I'm going to turn Jerusalem upside down. They provoked him to such anger. Verse 14, and I will forsake the remnant of mine inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies. And they shall become a prey and a spoil to all their enemies because they have done that which was evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came forth out of Egypt, even unto this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed innocent blood very much till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to the other. The man was a murderer. beside his sin wherewith he made Judah to sin in doing that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and all that he did and his sin that he sinned, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Manasseh slept with his fathers and was buried in the garden of his own house, in the garden of Uzzah. And Amon, his son, reigned in his stead. I will remind you that the wickedness of the kings of Israel and the increased wickedness of the people of Israel led to a very harsh judgment upon Israel. And the wickedness of the kings of Judah and the increased evil among the people of Judah led to a harsh judgment upon Judah. Separate judgments coming down at different times, one harsher than the other, one sooner than the other, but both of them receiving judgment. I want to talk to you about the heritage of the righteous and the calamity of the wicked. Psalm 37, a psalm of David. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Let me just put it to you another way. You can pray against what they're doing. You can write letters. You can make calls to Congress. You can submit. You can sign petitions. You can get together and rally and protest. But whatever you do, don't fret. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass. Now, when God says soon, that may not be the kind of soon you want it to be. Maybe you want to see them cut down right now. And maybe God's saying, no, there's coming a day of judgment when they're going to be cut down. Don't get your undergarments tied up in a knot because God doesn't wipe them out the moment you want him to. But by the same token, remember this, and you've heard me say it over and over again, in the end, nobody gets away with anything. The judge of all the earth will judge right. Fret not thyself. They shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord. Thank you, Elder Bud. More than one occasion, I've heard you say in prayer meeting, more than one occasion from this pulpit, we are trusting in God. I'm glad we have Capitol Police. My trust isn't in them. I'm glad we have legislators. My trust isn't in them. I'm glad we have local police. I'm glad we have a governor. I'm not glad with everything he's doing. I'm glad we have a president. I'm glad with some of the things he does, not glad with other things. I'm glad they're there. Appreciate him. But that's not who I'm trusting in. I'm trusting in Almighty God. And so here's the thing. Because I'm trusting in him, I can do good even when it looks like other people are getting away with evil. This is what he says. Look at verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily shalt thou be fed. Remember that verse I read a minute ago about how when everybody else is starving to death in a famine, you're going to be okay? Anybody remember a prophet that got fed at a brook in the wilderness? He caused birds to bring food to him. And then later, he caused him to be fed by a little widow woman. Folks, do y'all know God has provided for everyone in this church, even right through COVID? Sometimes pretty tight for some. They've had to come and ask for help, but God has provided. He says, you're going to dwell in the land, you're going to be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord. If you get, and this is the thing, folks, this is the difference between godliness and concern about our nation versus carnality. Godliness says, I'm concerned. I will weep. I will pray. I will write letters. I will sign petitions. I may even show up and march in a protest, but I will not become so obsessed that I'm ready to do evil over this thing. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as light, thy judgments as the noonday. Not only are we to delight in him, we're to rest in him. Look at verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait. Oh, we hate this word. Patiently. Oh man, you mean I gotta wait? We're so impatient. If the web page takes 3.5 seconds longer than we want it to, we're ready to throw the computer out the window. One time an evangelist, I'm not gonna say his name. If I said his name, you'd know who he was. He asked me if he could use my computer. I told him, okay. I have a lot on my plate. I wear a lot of hats. I have a lot of offices. I carry a heavy load. I got up at 4 o'clock this morning and I still ran out of time today. How does that happen? But I told this evangelist, I asked to use my computer. He asked to use it for just a few minutes. I said, I carry a heavy load. I have to multitask. I have a lot of windows open. So he starts to use my computer and he starts complaining about how slow my computer is. And before I could say anything, he said, I'll tell you your problem. You got too many windows open. He took to closing my windows. He had closed a bunch of them before I could say, stop. I said, I have to multitask. It will take me 2 weeks to get back to where I was before you closed all those windows. He repented. He thought he was going to help me. He was hurting me. But he was caring more about what he could do to make my computer faster for him. We're not a very patient people. Microwave food, fast food from the drive-thru. Let me just pause and say, it's troublesome when I take the time to park, get out, go in, and I'm ignored while everybody going through the drive-thru has attention lavished on them. How about showing some attention to the guy who came in? Have you ever been in standing at a service counter, talking with the service agent, and the phone rings? They put you on hold to answer the phone. It's moments like that when it tries our patience. But he says, wait patiently on the Lord. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently on him for him. Verse 7, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Folks, I hope you're hearing me and you're reading this in the context of why believers shouldn't be fighting to overpower police officers. For evildoers shall be cut off. But it doesn't look like they're being cut off. It doesn't look like anybody's doing anything about the voter fraud. It doesn't look like any of the court cases are going anywhere. It doesn't look like any of the judges are helping. It doesn't look like you can work yourself up into such a carnal frenzy that you're ready to shoot somebody. You need to cease from anger. You need to forsake wrath. You need to fret not yourself in any wise to do evil, because they may not be cut off when you want them to be. But one day, sometime, the Lord will deal with them. This is the thing. If your trust is in the courts and your trust is in the judges and your trust is in the president, your trust is in the legislature and your trust is in the governor and they're not taking any action, then you feel like you got no remedy left. But if your trust is in God and you know ultimately he's going to make it right, you're never without a remedy. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. In other words, you can study him real close and watch him disappear before your eyes. Now, the biblical phrase, yet a little while, may not be what you want a little while to mean. It may be a longer time than you think a little while is a little while, but leave that in God's hands. But turning to the righteous now, verse 11, but the meek shall inherit the earth. That may not happen on this side of the rapture, but it will happen. The meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. The wicked plotteth against the just and gnasheth upon him with his teeth. The Lord shall laugh at him, that is the wicked one, for he seeth that his day is coming. The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and the needy and to slay such as be of upright conversation. Their swords shall enter into their own heart and their bows shall be broken. A little that a righteous man hath is better than the riches of many wicked. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken, but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. He's going to break their arms, but he's going to hold you up. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied, but the wicked shall perish.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WKMZ-FM.